Listen now for the founder of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Today's message was selected from among the earliest recordings preserved from his lifetime and ministry.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace ye saved, not of works. Now let us suppose that I have power to give you the thing that you want most. What would you ask me for? Somebody says, I know what I'd ask you for. I'd ask you for a great deal of money. No, you wouldn't. You don't want money. You just think you do. You know, men think they want money until they get it and they find out that isn't what they want at all. Did you ever stop to think the things that make men happy, money can't buy? Money can't buy you the love of a wife. Money may buy a wife, but money never bought a woman's love. No woman's love was ever sold in the markets of the world. Money can't buy you friendship. You have to be broke to know who your friends are. If you have a great deal of money and men hang around you, they may want your money. If you haven't any money and people hang around you, it's because they like you. Why, a young fellow that goes and asks a girl to marry him and he has a great deal of money, he doesn't know whether she loves him or not, but she may want your money. But if you haven't any money and you ask her to marry and she says yes, she either loves you or she's a fool. Or say, it isn't money you want. Money can't buy you peace of conscience. Money can't buy you the thrill that comes to you when your own little baby clings with chubby arms about your neck. I've seen mothers in many lands. I don't care what color skin they have. When you see a mother holding a little baby in her arms, she has a light in her eye that you never saw on land or sea. Money can't buy the peace that comes to you when your mother kisses you goodnight and tucks you in bed. A little baby on a back street gets just as much peace from a mother's goodnight kiss as a baby gets in the palace of the rich. Many women, it isn't money. That isn't what you want. You don't want gold. You want something else. Now, what do you want? I'll tell you. You want life. You want harmonious life. You want to live and live harmoniously. Now, I don't know what you think about it, but I do not believe any sane man ever committed suicide. Now, don't misunderstand me. You may be responsible for your insanity. A great deal of insanity is due to sin. God holds men accountable for insanity when it's the result of sin, because men are accountable to God for their sins. But whether you're responsible for your insanity or not, when you commit suicide, you're insane. No sane man ever deliberately blew out his brains. No sane man ever deliberately turned on the gas to take his life. God didn't make you like that. God planted in the soul of man a love for life. Men want to live. Why, a drowning man will unconsciously reach for a straw, and a dying man will struggle instinctively for one more breath, however great may be the agony of breathing. God made men so they want to live. That's in your life. You want to live. Why, if I had a book that would tell you how to live 100 years, I could sell every one of you a copy. I know, because I bought one myself one time. I was just 35 years old, and I was in a bookstore and saw a book. And this book said, if you do what I say do, you'll live 100 years. I said, I want to buy that book. And I went home and told my wife and boy, I said, now, don't bother me. I'm going to do everything this book says do. I'm going to live 100 years. That's 65 more years for me. And so I sat down to read the book. And the first chapter was on the subject of diet. You know, it's a funny thing. They always start there. And the first chapter said, what not to eat. It said, don't eat so-and-so. I said, uh-oh, that's the best eating a fella ever did eat. I can't give that up. I said, yeah, live 100 years. All right, I'll give it up. And in that first chapter, that man eliminated everything I like, and I like nearly everything. And the next chapter told us what to eat. Now, I always thought I could eat anything, but I never saw such a conglomerated mess of eating in my life as that fella wanted me to eat. But I said, I'll eat it. Live 100 years. And the next chapter talked about exercise. Now, I've been to a gymnasium as much as 2 months at a time, and I've done every stunt that's doable. I've actually taken cold baths in the morning before breakfast for 2 long, agonizing years. Now, I was reared down south in a warm climate. Now, you know, I have my idea of a hero. My idea of a hero is a man that gets out of a warm bed on a winter morning and fills a tub with cold water and gets into it. That's my idea of a hero. Now, you know, when you're in the war and you go up front, well, you just have to fight, see? You just have it to do. But you know, when you get up in the morning and get in a tub of water, cold water, that's premeditated, foreordained, predestined heroism. That's deliberate. That's fixing the thing up. They told me that if I'd take them long enough, I'd get used to them. And I took them for 2 years. And the last one I took, I mean the last cold one, was 20 below zero. And I went to bed that night, and oh, the agony of it, the wind blowing. Didn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. I knew what was coming. And next morning, bright and early, I got out of bed, went in the bathtub, turned on the water, took a running start, and jumped in. That's the last cold one I ever had, and it's been nearly 20 years ago. Many women say something. Men will do nearly anything to get to live. And this book told me I could live to be 100 years old. And he was appealing to that instinctive something in every man's soul. You know, he knew men won't live. The title sold that book. But wait a minute. One time, there was a man in this world, and he was a man because he was like me. But he was God, too, because he was so much like God, he must have been God. And he said he was God. He said, my Father and I are one. And the Bible taught that he was God manifest in the flesh. I refer to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you know what he said? He says that he can make you live forever, not to be 100 years old. Why, you know, if I could add 10 years to the average of human life, I would immortalize my name. But Jesus of Nazareth says that he can make man live forever. Now, wait a minute. He comes into the world where there's death all around him. The flowers bloom, wither, and die. The birds sing and die. The animals live and die. Children are born, grow to manhood, womanhood, live their lives and die. He comes into a world where there's death everywhere. And in the midst of death, that's wonderful personality says that he can make us live forever. Now think of it. Say, listen just a minute. When Jesus Christ promises men eternal life, he proves to me one of two things. He was either God manifest in the flesh or the greatest madman the world ever saw. Nobody but God or a madman would offer me an eternal life. Now think of it. Think of Jesus telling me that he can make me live forever. In a world where everybody's going to the graveyard, in a world where we are marching with steady step and sometime faltering step down to the grave, and yet Jesus says, I can give you eternal life. Now, many women, one time a man said to a minister, said, Doctor, if a woman would tell you the same story about her child that Mary told about Jesus, would you believe it? And this minister said, if that child was a Jesus Christ, I'd believe it. Many women, if another Jesus Christ should come to this world, I'd fall down at his feet and say, my Lord and my God. I know Jesus was the Son of God. He was not a madman. No madman could have ever talked as he talked. He was God manifest in the flesh. Now, he promises men eternal life. Now, wait just a minute. If you promised me something, I'd ask you two questions. I might not ask you out loud, but I'd ask him on mine. First, can you do what you say you can do? Second, will you do it? Now, that's what I want to know. Are you honest and are you able? Now, a man may be perfectly honest and not able. And he may be able and not honest. Now, when Jesus says, I'll give you eternal life, I ask him two questions. First, can you do it? Second, will you do it? Can you and will you? Now, just a minute. Can he do it? Well, if you'll show me anybody that did what he did, I'll show you somebody that can do what he says he can do. Now, he, when he was here, raised the dead. He went to the tomb of Lazarus after Lazarus had been dead 4 days and said to Lazarus, come forth. And Dwight L. Moody said, if he hadn't have said Lazarus, every dead man in every graveyard in the world had got up. He had to say Lazarus so the others would stay dead. Nobody could stay dead around him. Who else but Jesus could calm a troubled sea? Who else but Jesus could wipe the tears of sorrow from the cheeks of those that wept over that dead? Who else but Jesus could call the dead back to life? Say, Jesus has the goods, brother. He's able to deliver. He can do anything he said he'd do. Now the question is, will he do it? Well, he wanted to enough to die to do it. If you want to do something enough to die to do that thing, don't you think you would? Well, now, Jesus is not only able, but he loved us so much he died for us. Now, how am I going to get eternal life? Now, you're going to get eternal life just like you get anything else. Now, everything you have, you've got one of three ways. Everything you have now, you got honestly, dishonestly, or somebody gave it to you. You can't get a thing any other way. That hat you wear, you got honestly, dishonestly, or somebody gave it to you. The suit of clothes you have on, you got honestly, dishonestly, or somebody gave it to you. I said that one time, a man said to me, I can get something some other way. I said, how? Well, he said, I can create something. But you have to have material out of which to create something. Now, the material out of which you create something, you have to get honestly, dishonestly, or somebody has to give it to you. Now, you have to get eternal life the same way. You have to either buy it, or you have to steal it, or you have to find somebody who can give it to you. All right? Would you like to buy it? What have you got to pay for it? Do you think that you've got enough to pay for something as valuable as eternal life? How can you buy a thing? Do you know how valuable that is? Why, you can't buy it. You know, the average fella has a sort of an idea that the angels keep books up in heaven. That when he does a good deed, the angel puts it in one column. He does a bad deed, the angel puts it in another column. And when he dies, the angels add up the column that the good's bigger than the bad, he goes to heaven. If the bad's bigger than the good, he goes to hell. Now, that's the way the world looks at it. But that's not the way the Bible teaches it. Now, you can't buy salvation. Salvation's already bought. It was paid for with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid for your soul with his precious blood. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible teaches. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. He bought you with his blood. Now, you don't have to buy eternal life. It's already bought and paid for. As a matter of fact, you can't buy it. Nobody could buy it but Jesus. He was the only person that had the power to buy it. Now, he himself is the power. He said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. He said he'd receive that commandment from his Father. Now, you can't buy it. Well, it's a cinch. You can't steal it. All right, if you ever get it, you've got to find somebody that can give it to you. Now, Jesus can give it to you. Eternal life is a gift. If you can't buy it, you can't steal it. You accept it by faith. By grace, you say, through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life. Salvation is God's gift. That's all. Now, I'm talking to you with my Bible in my hand. Now, suppose I want to give you a $5 bill. I put the $5 bill into this Bible, close up the Bible, offer you the Bible. Now, God offers you eternal life, but he puts his life in Jesus Christ. Now, he says, take Jesus and you have life. My friend, salvation is in Christ. Christianity is Christ, and Christ is Christianity. There's just one difference between a saved man and an unsaved man. A saved man has Christ, an unsaved man doesn't. You say, don't I need forgiveness? Yes, you do, but he'll forgive you. You say, don't I need a new nature? Yes, but he'll give it to you. The gift of God's eternal life. Now, a Christian is a person who has Christ, that's all. He just has Christ. He has forgiveness because he has Christ. Everything's in him. He'd have the Son, hath life. He'd have not the Son of God, hath not life. Now, suppose Jesus was talking to you right now, just like I am, and you knew Jesus was speaking, and you knew that this voice was his voice, and he told you something, would you believe it? Well, I'll tell you what he said. He said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That means on no account, under no condition. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, how you've lived. If you'll come to him now, you can't earn salvation, you can't pay for salvation, you can't buy salvation. He'll give it to you if you'll accept him by faith. The gift of God is eternal life. Goodbye, and God bless you.
You've heard a message recorded during the lifetime of the founder of Bob Jones University. Listen daily for messages by Dr. Bob Jones Sr., sponsored by Bob Jones University.